Speaking of grand and glorious, it absolutely is that. Easter is incredible. The message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, it is everything to our faith. But it's also complex. And the story is also challenging. And it's really, really difficult. The layers of the Easter story, they range from to there are groans and there are gasps. I don't know, have you noticed the spelling? I'm so glad. I was worried you weren't gonna catch it. Holy Week, of course, the time, the 7 days around Easter, that would be W-E-E-K, but this is W-E-A-K. I need you to see that the Easter season exposed weakness. And what I want you to see is that that is not always a bad thing. I know we have been raised tough and we have been raised chin up, but weakness is a reality in life. I'm not suggesting today that we have to like our weaknesses. I'm certainly not saying that we should not want we should want them or desire weakness. No. I think we are right to try and strengthen them and to work through them so that our weaknesses are no longer weaknesses. But at the same time, we need to embrace the fact that our weaknesses keep us close to God. It's just a fact. It's also a fact that God uses our weaknesses. There's probably people in this room saying, what? I mean, wait a minute, my weakness is a curse, or my weakness is the lament of my life. This is something that I'm constantly repenting over, or I can't seem to get over. How in the world is God using my weakness? Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament and just so pivotal to the foundational truths of our Christian faith, Paul said that the Lord gave him a weakness. It was a thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what that thorn was. There are many ideas and many suggestions as to what the weakness may have been in Paul's life specifically, but we know because Paul told us. Paul said, I was struggling with becoming conceited because of the revelations that the Lord was giving me. I was struggling with my ego. I was thinking too much of myself, and so the Lord put a thorn in my life. And Paul asked 3 times for that thorn to be removed, for that weakness to be healed in his life, but it wasn't. And this is how that was answered, 2 Corinthians 12:7. But he said to me, after Paul asked, hey, would you take this away from me? He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, if that's the way it is, if that's the way it's going to be, then I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Holy Week. I'm going to talk to you this Easter season about Holy Week. I've never thought my weakness was holy.
In fact, I've always been ashamed of it. I have struggled through the weakness. But this is Holy Week. I want to spend some time looking at the struggles around Easter. Why would you do that? You know why? Because you and I have the same struggles. Our weaknesses show up here and there. It may not be a constant thing, I realize, with this many people in the room and these many people online with us today. Everybody's dealing with something different. There's nuance and specificity. Everybody's just a little different in what they may struggle with or what may appear or show up as a weakness in your life. But what I know is when they show up at the most inopportune time. That's when weakness comes, when it's really not welcome. Like when I'm really needing to be strong. Yep, weak. When boldness would be welcomed, there's my timidity again. Here's a situation where I could really use some confidence, but instead, it's my uncertainty. Paul, this isn't something to boast about. I have to disagree with you. And yet I hear Paul saying, no, it's all about perspective. Because Paul found a way to be glad about his weakness. Because his weakness was an opportunity to trust God more fully. I had you raise your right hand a few moments ago, and none of that was planned. Lord, I trust you. Some of you declared that while not truly believing it. It's all right. Some of you said the words, and I believe you're going to be better because you said the words, but you still are not sure, because as soon as you spoke the words, Lord, I trust you, there was that following thought that came just lightning quick that said, bull, no you don't, come on. You may trust him over in this area, but you know good and well you don't trust him in that area. You know you do real good on Sunday, but let's have this conversation again on Monday. That's why you ought to wake up tomorrow morning, set a reminder on your phone, post a note to your get ready mirror, and just remind yourself, Lord, I want to declare even on Monday. It felt good on Sunday, feels completely different on Monday, but Lord, I trust you, because even when I have weakness in my life, my weakness is an opportunity to trust God more fully. So Paul went on in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. He said, for that matter, I delight in insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. You know why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because somehow when I'm weak, I'm not alone. I feel alone, but I'm not alone. When I'm weak, that's when the Lord is coming close. That's when the Lord is coming with his strength and his power and his grace and his goodness to help me through it. This is Holy Week. This is Holy Week. I want to look at John 14 for a few moments today. And this is, I've said it many times, the book of John is my favorite book of the Bible. I love the Word of God, but there's something so powerful about the book of John and John's eyewitness account. And John was so just, I mean, he didn't He didn't write exactly the same as the other gospel writers. He didn't worry about some of the detail that they worried about. John's primary goal was that everyone saw Jesus as Messiah, saw Jesus as God, did not treat him as just some other prophet of the day, but this is God, and you can put your faith in him. So I love the way John writes. And then you get to John 14. I love the entire book, but this chapter is so powerful to me. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, hey guys, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Interesting conversation to be having with the disciples who had been with him for a little more than 3 years now. But this has been one of the great challenges. It's people accepting Jesus as Messiah. It is still a challenge for people. Parts of the world, Jewish people, have not accepted Jesus as Messiah. So the disciples, for 3 years, while they're even learning about their faith, because they were all brand new converts to what is happening through Jesus, but everywhere they show up with Jesus, there are these really religious people. There are these Pharisees and these Sadducees and these men of religious royal reputation who are questioning who Jesus is. And it's hard to constantly hear the questions and to have the doubt come your way and not wonder, well, I mean, do they have a point? Is he who he says he is? And is that not the same argument that's been happening all the way back to Adam and Eve? Did God really say not to eat of the fruit of this tree? If the enemy can get us to question who he is. And so Jesus is saying, hey, one more time, guys. I'm almost out of here. I need to go, but I need to make sure that we are good. I need to make sure that this is solidified in your hearts. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. Jesus said, this is going to shock you, but there are going to be people in those rooms in heaven that you did not think would be there. That's why we got them in different rooms, because it's going to be some of the people you didn't get along with here. Jesus said, I'm just going to put you go to your room and you go to your room. I'm going to save both of you. I'm going to allow both of you to go to heaven, but I'm going to keep you. I may be taking some creative license, but he said there were many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Notice verse 4, he said, you know the way to the place where I am going. Weakness alert, 911, get ready. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't even know what you're talking about. How can we know the way? Lord, I'm as lost right now as when you first started this conversation. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're saying to me. Lord, this weakness shows up. This crisis of faith shows up. This question about all that Jesus is doing and what Jesus is is saying, and I gotta ask this room, I gotta ask people online today, and I don't wanna embarrass anyone, I don't wanna expose anyone who may have walked in dressed like faith, or maybe you praised like faith today, or maybe you're holding your head high in faith today, but I just need to ask, are there times when you have absolutely no idea what God is saying or doing in your life? Are there times that you're just baffled saying, I don't know what in the world is happening in my life right now? Oh, I go to church and I want to walk the walk and I want to talk the talk and I want to praise the praise and I want to sing the song and I want to preach the sermon as though I know exactly and have all the confidence in the world. But sometimes way down on the inside, what I keep hidden, what I keep covered and dressed and paint a smile, sometimes is a big question mark in my life because I don't know what's going on. And if I'm honest, Lord, sometimes it is a weakness in my life that I don't know what you're doing. And I don't know how any of this is going to work out. Thomas is like, I'm lost, Lord. What are you talking about? I mean, I put on a game face and I look as though I know what's happening, but I have no clue. I'm weak. My faith is a little weak. My understanding is a lot weak. What is happening in my life? And look how Jesus answers Thomas' question. Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas just said, Lord, I don't know where you're going. I don't understand anything about these rooms. This is not making sense to me. And Jesus says, Thomas, get your eyes back on me. Look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas is saying he's lost, and Jesus is saying, stick with me, kid. I've got you. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. What you see may not make sense, but who you know has it all under control. What are you saying, Pastor Darrell? I'm saying, as much as I want to be strong, as much as I want to be confident, as much as I want to be in control, as long as I have Jesus, I have everything I need. As long as I can feel the presence of the Lord. It's why this is everything to us on Sundays. It's why I tell this team, take your time. We got to get there. We've got to enter into his gates and come in to his courts. And we've got to have those moments of his strong presence, because somehow in the presence of the Lord, I find center again, and I get squared up again, and I'm able to get my bearings and say, oh, that okay, yeah, that's the direction I need to be going. Life twisted me around so much last week, and this news knocked me over here, and that news knocked me this way, and then that situation twisted me up and turned me around. But I can get in the presence of the Lord. I find true north again. I find my center again. I realize, wait a minute, I am the called of God. I am the chosen of God. I am his ambassador. I'm not crazy. I'm not confused. I may have some weakness I'm working through, but I am God's man. I can do what he's called me to do. Come on, Thomas. I know you're struggling a little bit. I know you have questions, but if you'll just keep your eyes on me. Long as I can find Jesus, then I know everything will work for my good. Confidence is good, but faith in God is better. Details are wonderful. I love details. But trusting him is the best plan. When I don't have details, I have him. When I don't know, I have him. I say it so often in my life, you would laugh. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust you. I'm going to keep following you. I'm going to keep my dependence upon you. So verse 7, he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. I know these Pharisees have been trying to get you to question who I am. I know the enemy that chases us through these village streets. He's trying to get you to doubt who I am. But let me just tell you, if you know my Father, then you know me. And if you know me, then you know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip says, again, weakness alert. Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Jesus replies, Philip, have you heard anything I've been saying? So y'all can act like the Lord never gets frustrated, but he does. I know he's been frustrated with me. You asking this again? You praying about this again? Are you really bringing this worry to me? I thought you, why do you keep laying it at my feet on Sunday and then picking it back up before you get to the car? Am I by myself? Anybody else? Can we preach real? This is Holy Week. Philip, I've been explaining this. I just said this so plainly and so clearly. So Jesus answered, do you not know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority or on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Verse 11, believe me when I say, look, you've been a parent, you've said this or you've had it said to you, look me in the eye and hear what I am saying. I know you don't quite understand what I am saying, but you have to trust what I am saying. I need everybody in this room that feels like your life is out of control and you are lost, not sinner lost, but just lost to his purpose and his plan. Look me in the eye. Believe me when I say what he says. If you are tied into Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to work out. Everything is going to be okay. Your goal is to stay with Jesus. Keep your eyes on him and let him sweat the details in your life. My weakness is holy. He said, believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Or if you're struggling with that, at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. You don't understand what I'm saying. Can you at least see what I'm doing? Can you see the evidence? The evidence is all around. We sing about the evidence. We thank God for the evidence. But it's just some weakness that shows up. It's just some struggle in my faith. You know, Lord, I got to looking around at these circumstances. There's betrayal over there and there's death right in front of us, and there's lack in my pockets, and there's some doubt in my heart. It's weakness. This is Holy Week. It's Holy Week. What's amazing is, he says in verse 12, 13, 14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What's amazing, Thomas, is you have doubt, but you are going to do the same works that I am doing. You have struggled in your life, but you are going to be the ones proclaiming this same message. You're going to write about it. You're going to preach about it. You're going to build churches. And more than 2,000 years from now, there's going to be a church in Covington, Georgia that's going to read about your crisis of faith, your struggle, your weakness. And they're going to be strengthened. They're going to be helped. He said, you're going to do greater things because I go to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything, verse 14, anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm closing, but let me get very practical today, because some of you need hooks you can hang this part of your life on. And I want to make sure you have a hook today. You all right? Just a little weakness. Some of you are asking, how can I be more secure in my faith? How can I be more secure in my spirituality? We'll give you three things very quickly. Number one, don't put your security in anything that can't sustain it. That's a whole word right there. Don't put your security in anything that can't sustain it. Each time Thomas or Philip or any of the others expressed doubt, Jesus pointed them back to himself. Because we got to keep Jesus at the center. The word sustain, it means to support, to nourish, to supply, to keep up. What in your life right now can provide all that? What in your life can sustain you? There's a method to the madness, folks. That's why this team works hard and leads us in worship. And I come on this platform and continue leading and exhorting your faith and trying to help build and stoke the flames of this Holy Ghost fire in this room. Why? Because I don't have security in anything else. We keep money as a tool, but it's not a security. I'm not in a recession, I'm in Jesus. I'm not in lack, I'm in Jesus. He shall supply all my needs according to his riches. Don't put your security in anything that can't sustain it. Number two, lean into your weaknesses to leverage more of God's strength. Instead of trying to fake it till you make it, just lean into it. I'm not saying you gotta announce it to everybody. I'm not saying this ought to be your Facebook status. By the end of the day, I'm weak, y'all. I'm not saying that. I struggle with this. I'm not saying that. But just own it. Own it. Because God does not work around our insecurities. He works through our insecurities. our insecurities. According to Paul, when I admit my weakness, it increases my dependence upon God. And Corinthians said that his power then rests on me. When I acknowledge him in all my ways, not just the strong ways, but the weak ways. I'm over here, Lord, and I've got this struggle in my life. I've got this issue in my life. I've got this crisis in my life, and I can't get around it. I there's no other way to deal with it, Lord, but just to acknowledge I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. He said, when we acknowledge that, his power rests on us. When I'm weak, then I am strong. I'm leaning into the weakness, knowing I have to depend on the Lord. The more I give to him, the more he gives to me. The more I trust him, the more he allows me to handle. Sometimes I say it like this: when I make his business my business, he makes my business his business. Number three, submit your self-talk and thoughts to the truth of God's word. Let me say it like this. We talk about repenting for the things that we say to someone else. I think we need to repent for the things we say to ourselves. Lord, I was really rude to that person. My fuse was short, and I shouldn't have said that. I repent. Lord, driving to work the other day, I said some things to me. I repent for the self-talk and the thoughts that I allow to enter into my mind that keep me beat down. All while Thomas and Philip were beating themselves up, Jesus was saying, hey, when you stop crying, I just want you to know I'll do anything you ask in my name. Hey, Thomas, you over there with your head down, man, because you're not quite sure how it's all working and happening in your life. But hey, when you get out of that pity party, just know I got you. I'm ready to do miracles in your life. Hey, you over there so overcome with worry and so downtrodden and so discouraged, but just know when you pick your head up and get your eyes on me, I want to work for you. Anything you ask in my name, I will do it. This is Holy Week. I'm weak. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I feel like doing this just a little different today, and maybe you'll go with me, but heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, so it's fair to acknowledge. It's fair to admit. It's fair to come clean. I'm weak. Sometimes there is a crisis in my faith. And I just don't know. If that's you, let me just experiment a moment. Let me just see. Because I know the one who feels so alone today is not alone. the one who is certain the issue is you and you only. I promise you, you're not alone. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's anybody in this room that ever feels weak in their faith, safely just stand up where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. It's a private moment. If you ever just feel weak, if you ever just feel weak, if you ever just feel weak, yeah, it's all right. Now just open your eyes and look around. You're not by yourself. You're not alone in this struggle. It's Holy Week. And God's got you. And to everyone in this room who would say, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I feel this way sometimes. I hear the Lord thundering his reply. I hear him saying, hey, 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 everybody who feels weak, I've got work for you to do. Lean into the weakness. Let my power rest on your life. Ask me when you feel weak what it is you want me to do in your life, and I will do it. If you ask it in my name. I wonder if everybody would stand with me in the room today. Father, I pray for us. I pray for us today. We are a people undone. We are a people uncertain sometimes. We are a people who feel like there is no rudder to steer us. But Lord, on this April 6th Sunday, Easter season, we get our eyes on you. Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who knows the end from the beginning. And we put our trust in you. We depend on you. We don't have to hide our weakness. We don't have to run. We don't have to live in shame. Paul said we can boast. We can be glad about it. I know it sounds weird, but thank you, Lord, for the weakness in my life that keeps me running back to you. That's where I want to be. I want to be in your presence and at your feet.